Good morning. Happy New Year. We're glad that y'all are here today. We really are. Some of you stayed up late last night. Some of your blood pressure, stress, your heart rate, all of those things were going crazy yesterday. Even if you didn't know anything about Michigan or TCU or Ohio State or Georgia or any of those others. It was a very eventful and long night. I went to bed beforehand. I was asleep. It was tied. I woke up. It was halftime. Georgia was losing. I went to sleep. I woke up again and checked, and I saw the missed field goal. Oh, and that was a good thing. I'm sorry, Miss Peg Harshfield. I didn't mean it, but she's one of the few Ohio State people I know. But we are glad that you're here today. I am preaching a sermon that if you happen to be here on June 28th, 2015, you heard it. Because this was the first sermon I preached here. And the reason I'm preaching it today is because today I become the longest serving pastor that Kingswood has ever had. And for me, it's a wonderful moment of gratitude and appreciation for you. My wife, we did vows together for her to put up with me. And I guess y'all did too, but I'm very grateful. We're both grateful for the ways in which you have loved us, supported us over these last 7.5 years. And I just wanted to say thank you today for that. I am grateful. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant us by the same Holy Spirit that we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This scripture is a familiar one to you because you walked under it as you walked into the sanctuary. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. When Joshua was preaching that to the children of Israel, they had conquered the Holy Land, the Promised Land. He was saying what he needed to say because he was getting ready to retire, to die. It was the last sermon. And he wanted them to know that they needed to choose this day. Because he saw them and he had been with them since Egypt. He was the only one there at that time who had been with the children of Israel since Egypt. He saw the plagues that God cast down upon the Egyptians. He was there when there was the Passover, the first Passover. He was there when they exited out. He was there when they made it to the first time to the brink of the Promised Land. And they sent those 12 spies over into the Promised Land. And all 12 spies saw exactly the same thing. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There is a great land. That's what they... But only two, Caleb and Joshua, said, we can take these people. With God on our side, we can do anything. And then the other 10 spies said, It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land, and they will smush us like bugs. We cannot. And so they didn't. And they wandered around for 40 years in the desert till all those people were dead except for Caleb and Joshua. And then they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. He had led them for a long time. Choose this day. On the first day of this year, we need to choose this day who we will serve as well. How do we serve? How do we serve? I want to say that Jesus tells us several things. Because I don't know where you are, and if I ask you how are you doing, it sounds a lot like that contemporary Christian song that I preached a sermon on. You would say, I'm fine, yes, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine, yes, I'm fine, but I'm not, I'm broken. We would say those things because some of us have problems, some of us are going to experience problems, and some of us are getting through some problems. We really do. There are those of us who are dealing with depression. There are some that are dealing with illness. There are those who are dealing with problems in their marriage. There are people with all kinds of problems. They're struggling with trying to figure out the inflation. We're trying to figure out all kinds of things. And Jesus tells us, come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle in heart. Jesus wants us to come alongside him, to walk with him. Everything that we are going to go through or have gone through in our lives, Jesus has already gone through it. And he wants us to walk with him. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter 5 and 6. He said, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He wants us to come. He wants us to walk with him. To walk like him. When I was in the 8th grade, they used to have a spring day. It meant no school. It was a lot of games. There was everything from a basketball game to volleyball. There was three-legged race. There was a 100-yard dash. All kinds of things they were doing. And I decided to, and another young guy, classmate, we decided to do three-legged race. We didn't do any practicing. Because if I'd have done any practicing, I would have realized that two bow-legged people don't need to try to do that race together. But somehow or another, about 7 or 8 strides into the race, we figured out how two bow-legged people could run together, and we came in third. But it was one of those things, you have to figure out how to do that together when you're tied together. Kind of like marriage, kind of like a family. And that's what Jesus is saying. Come alongside me, walk with me, submit yourself to me, come. Come. And some of us need to do that. But he also tells us to follow him. To follow him. Matthew 4 tells us about Jesus walking along the seashore, and he sees Peter and his brother Andrew casting nets, and Jesus says, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he goes around the corner, around the curve, or wherever, and he sees John and James, sons of Zebedee, mending nets. And he yells at them, come follow me. And they leave their nets, leave their boat, and leave their dad. Don't you know dad was happy? And he followed them. And the kingdom of God broke into the lives of those four men. Because they were set free from the bondage of fishing and boats and nets. Follow me. What does follow me look like? Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's that denying of self. And when Jesus says, follow me, many of us say, I'll be glad to, but I need to be home by 6 o'clock, Jesus. I have plans with my boys. I have plans that I need to make that don't really include you. So if it's okay with you, I've got something else to do besides follow you. Some of us want to be followers of Christ on our own terms. But that's not what he says. It's about being selfless. And we truly will not understand a life with Christ and all the benefits of a life with Christ until we're willing to follow. To follow more closely. Follow more closely. You see, how do you follow? We're supposed to have the same attitude that is in Christ. That's what Paul says in Philippians 2:5. But we see it in John 13. He's invited all those people to the Passover meal. Jesus is the host. Anytime you read in the Bible about Jesus being there and there's a meal being served, it doesn't matter if it is it his house or somebody else's house, he becomes the host. Well, he's the host on this Passover night, but then he becomes the servant. He hears them talking about who's the greatest. They were arguing about all the work they had to do to make sure that day happened. Who's the greatest? And Jesus shows them who's the greatest when he takes off his outer robe, wraps the towel around his waist, and washes their feet, knowing that one would deny, one would betray, and they would all run away. Selfless service. Following Christ is not easy. But he's not ever asking us to do anything that he hadn't gone through. Some of us need to follow more closely. Might be a day that we choose to do that. Today would be a good day to follow more closely. The last thing that Jesus calls us to do is to go. To go, because some of us, it's easy to get comfortable doing our Bible studies and praying for people and doing those sorts of things, but not going anywhere. It really is. It really is. See a lot of study, but no action. There's a story, it's a true story. Any of y'all familiar with the Darwin Awards? Yeah, those people are trying to make the gene pool a little bit smaller. In the late 1980s, there was a gentleman by the name of Larry Walters. He lived in the suburbs of Los Angeles. He was an unemployed truck driver. He would spend his Saturday afternoons drinking beer in his backyard with his friends and neighbors. And on one Saturday afternoon, he decided, probably after 6 or so beers, that he really wanted to see what his neighborhood looked like from 200 feet up in the air. And so he went to an army surplus store and bought, I don't know, 4 or 5 weather balloons and got some helium and came home. And with he and his neighbors, they fill the balloons with air. He goes in the house, gets a BB gun, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and 2 more 6-packs. And he goes and gets in the chair and he says, let me go. And instead of going to 200 or 300 feet where he could look around and eat his sandwich and drink his beer, he goes to 9,000 feet. He lived near LAX airport. On his way up, some pilot called in to the tower that he just saw a man in a lounge chair going by. 5 to 6 hours later, they get Larry Walters down. And in a big fire trucks and ambulances and all the flashing lights, a reporter sticks a microphone in his face and asks him three questions. Were you scared? Yep. Are you going to do it again? Nope. Why'd you do it in the first place? And he said, you can't just sit there. That is a word for the church. We can't just sit here. What does going look like? It looks a lot of different ways. In my life, I think back to the late 80s. A dear friend of ours, her husband had died while running, 52 years old. A month or so later, June and I go over to Edith's house, and we ask if she'd like to go walking, because she used to go walking with her husband, and she had not been walking since her husband had died, and she went with us. And we started walking pretty regularly. School starts, and June says, somebody's got to stay here with the girls. I'll stay here and help with homework. You can go walking if you want to. And so Edith and I, we started walking, and we would talk on this 2.6-mile journey every night, and it was unbelievable education for me. We talked about life. We talked about the church. We talked about death. We talked about friends. We talked about everything that we could think of. Her grief that she knew and had experienced in her life in a major way, one was her dad who died of esophageal cancer, and she knew the painful death that he died. Months of the radiation and all that he went through. And she knew the death of a husband who said bye as he was walking out to go run and never came home. And in my case, I knew my dad. He went to sleep and he didn't wake up. And I knew that my brother, 8 weeks later, burned to death while driving back home in a car wreck. And so we talked. 2.6 miles. We walked in the heat. We walked in the rain. We walked in sleet. We walked in any kind of weather you can imagine. And over time, I realized I didn't have what she had or has. But what she has, I wanted. She went. She would go by living out her faith in a way that it just came out of her. She still does. And in the midst of that, she became an instrument of God that changed my life. Changed a lot of people's lives. Just by the way she lives her faith, loving and being kind. Going looks a lot of different ways. Back a number of years ago, there was a church in Oregon who was involved in prison fellowships, Angel Tree. The way they would do it is if you picked a family, one of the families they would have, all the families they would provide Christmas gifts for, one or both parents were in jail. And so if you got a family, you would buy them their gifts, you would take them the gifts, you would present them with a Bible, and you would read the Christmas story to the family. Well, this church had a family they picked, they went, they told them the story. It was three little kids. The dad was in jail. The mother was a prostitute and a drug addict. And they did share the Christmas story. And one of them said, we'd love for y'all to come to our church. It's just around the corner. We'd love for y'all to come. And they said, okay. 2 days later, the preacher hears a knock on the door, and it's one of those little boys. Well, all three of them, they're there. And they said, the man who brought us our Christmas said we could come to the church, invited us to the church. Will you show us around the church? And the preacher said, yes. And so he shows them in the sanctuary, shows them in the children's department, showed the gym, showed them everything, the kitchen, all those places. And then when he finished, he said, I hope y'all will come back this Sunday. Okay. Well, about 30 minutes, the little boy knocks on the door again and says, can you come to your church if your socks don't match? He said, sure. Well, can you come to this church if you have no socks at all? Sure. And the preacher said, why do you ask? He said, because my socks don't match and my little brother doesn't have any socks at all. So he said, sure. The next Sunday, three little ragamuffins showed up on the front row. The oldest one, the ringleader, had a little sack with a hot dog in it. He'd never been to church, didn't know how long it was going to last. So he wanted to make sure he had food if he needed it. And that congregation enveloped them with love and grace and mercy and loved them, changed their life. Y'all know what that's like, because you've changed lives, haven't we? Haven't we? We've changed the direction of people's lives. But today is the first day of the year, and maybe it's the day that we need to choose to change more people's lives so that more people might know Jesus, to know it's all right to come to Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to go. I hope you will join me as we come, as we follow, and as we go for Jesus. Amen. Amen.